When I come together in my local congregation, I expect a lot. As a believer in Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, I believe that I should expect a lot. I believe that it would be a rather safe observation to say that people today expect more and more from their government and less from their church. That's a sad commentary. If it is indeed true, the church ought to be the highest fulfillment of one's hopes and dreams. It is, after all, the body of Christ on this earth. Is it possible to expect too much from the church? I think so. For those who expect the church to be the sole contributor to their knowledge of eternity and never do any studying on their own, I suspect there are those who demand too much from the church, who require the clergymen to train their children and solve all of their domestic problems without putting forth an effort themselves. And the list could go on, but there are some legitimate things that Christians can and should expect from their church. I expect my church to give preeminence to the Word of God. When I go to church, I don't want to hear the announcements if they are printed in the bulletin. I say, clear the deck. Get about the business of the Word of God. I expect the song leader to have done some prayerful homework in the selections of the songs. I also expect that the musicians have carefully rehearsed these songs. I expect a Sunday school teacher to teach the Word of God. It is reasonable to expect a pastor to have a carefully thought out and prayerfully inspired message from God. There is a current saying that if you can't say it in 20 minutes, forget it. I am willing to give more time than that, an hour if need be, or even more, to have my soul saturated and fed with the deep riches of God's Word. It's lesson time now. Scoot up your chair and be blessed. For my lesson today, I'm going to return to Matthew chapter 24. Jesus is talking to his disciples. They wanted him to tell them when the temple would be destroyed. They wanted to know the signs of his return. They wanted to know what the signs of the end of the world would be. But he didn't answer that question right away. The first thing he said, take heed to yourselves that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. We are living in the last days. The scriptures tell us, as the time approaches for the final overthrow of Satan and his evil demons, his fury and hatred, his fierce anger, and his deceptions will multiply. Revelations 12 and 12 says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows he has but a short time. We are living in momentous and fearful days, when the onslaught of deceiving spirits seem to have reached a crescendo, a fact of which the church cannot be ignorant, lest Satan should get an advantage over us. How can Christians allow fellow believers to suffer from these satanic attacks through the ignorance of Satan's devices? Many people shrink from this subject altogether, insisting that if Christ is preached, talking about Satan and demons is unnecessary and spiritually unhealthy. But I would say to you that there is an even greater danger of allowing the devil to win battle by default when we refuse to gather knowledge needed to expose his tactics. The devil gains an advantage over us. The Apostle Paul well knew this. He said, lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. The Scriptures reveal to us that the evil spirits of the invisible world are doing their utmost to hinder the witness of the Church of Christ. The secrets of how they do so is all found in the word deception. Deception, the act of causing someone to accept as a truth that which is false. The deceivers do it through craftiness, cunningly devised fables, fakery and trickery and half-truths. They even present themselves to you as a preacher of righteousness. These are the ministers of Satan. I told you in a previous lesson that there was two major spirits in this world. They are similar in a lot of ways. Both can lead and guide you in this world. One, the Spirit of God, can lead you into all truth, can lead you into the paths of righteousness, can lead you into good works and good deeds. And then there is the spirit of the devil. He can also lead you. He will lead you in the paths of destruction. He will lead you into a dead end. He can lead you into hell. He will not lead you into doing good works. He will not lead you to love your brothers and sisters in the Lord. He will lead you into gossiping about your brothers and your sisters. He will lead you into grumbling and complaining. He will lead you into talking about your pastor. He'll lead you into rejecting the Scriptures. He will lead you into rejecting the whole gospel, all the Scripture. The Bible says that all of it's good for doctrine. But the devil, the familiar spirit, he will lead you into rejecting many of the sayings of Jesus himself. He will lead you into rejecting that Jesus Christ had all power as he claimed he did. In fact, they will tell you that Jesus did not have the power to forgive sins before he was crucified on the cross, even though Jesus himself said that I have power to forgive sins on this earth. The familiar spirit will find scriptures in the Bible that will contradict other scriptures in the Bible. Friend, don't be seduced by these familiar spirits that would tell you that you don't have to follow all the words of Christ. These seducing spirits will deceive you. Jesus said they would come in my name, saying that I am Christ, and deceive many. In fact, they'll even put church on their meeting house. They'll even put Christ on their meeting house, just to deceive you. If they are the true Christ Church, I would never say anything about them. I know plenty of congregations with God's name over the door, with Jesus' name over the door, with Christ's name over the door, that are genuinely Christians, that genuinely desire to please God. That's what being a genuine Christian is all about. Asking yourself every day, what can I do to please God? Because if you're not pleasing God, it doesn't matter who else you please. My goal in life is to please Him, is to be obedient to Him. And that Spirit of truth, who leads and guides me into all truth, will help me do that which is pleasing unto God. So, friend, don't be deceived by the familiar spirits that would seduce you, who would get you believing things that are not right,